Welcome back to another episode of the Prepare Podcast. Happy New Year 2021. If you're a first-time listener here, our podcast is a production of the Salvation Army Central Territory Women's Ministries Department. Here, women of faith and in ministry share their experiences and wisdom to prepare and equip us in our faith pursuits and callings. I am your host, Heather Hanton. Now, we have had a lot of amazing guests on our podcast since Sarah Makula began this ministry in 2015, and today is no different. I'm excited about our guest today, Sabrina Kemper. Sabrina is a multi-talented woman of God who has dedicated her life to serve the Lord through creative arts. For the last 6 years, she's worked for the Salvation Army in Florida as the Divisional Creative Arts Director, and I've had a chance to see Sabrina's unique ministry while we lived in Florida, and it was my privilege to work with her at various camps and retreats and divisional events. She's a dancer, a leader, a mentor to teens and young adults, and she is my friend. She strives for excellence in everything she does, but she's always quick to give the glory back to God. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Sabrina. Welcome, Sabrina.
Thank you, Heather. I feel so welcome and so excited to be here today and just get to have this conversation with you.
We're so happy to have you on our podcast today. I know your time is precious. I know how dedicated you are to your ministry there in Florida. So thanks for taking time to talk to us today.
And oh, of course.
We're excited to hear what I'm excited to hear what you've been up to since we left Florida. But just so our listeners know, can get to know you a little bit better, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Sabrina Adele Kemper because I'm newly married.
Woo-hoo.
I've been married over a year, but I still feel like it was just yesterday. So a lot of people will know me as Sabrina Borum. Mm-hmm. I was up there one time, and when I was there, I was Sabrina Borum, but I'm Sabrina Kemper now. I'm in my early 30s. I am a transplant to Florida, but I'm from the beautiful, sweet state of North Carolina.
Yeah.
And yes, I do miss seasons. I love the sunshine state. But it is so weird being, like, here for Christmas, and it's, like, 90 degrees outside, and we're playing kettles or whatever else. But I do love it here. I found my second home here because it's been almost 6.5 years, which
yeah.
is crazy to me, being here in Florida. I am an Enneagram 1 for people who
okay.
are into Enneagram. I'm a textbook Enneagram 1. So that will probably tell you all you need to know about me. And I will admit, like, when I took this test so many times because I did not want to be a 1. I was like, no, why do I have to be a 1?
I know.
But it's just who I am, Heather. And
yeah.
I got to own that.
Yep, you do. And you do. You do it well. I'm a 2. I'm a helper.
What? You're a helper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The helper, I love that. I see that in you.
And it's one of those things, too, where I can't not own that because I'm like, oh, nope, there's my 2. My 2's coming out.
The 2 is there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Heather, I'm inspired to talk to you because I don't know if you've read The Road Back to You, but when I talk to people about the Enneagram, I guess, like, the goal is for us to kind of reflect all of the positive attributes of all the numbers because
mm-hmm.
that's what God does.
Yeah.
So I love that I know 2. Like, I think you're the only 2 I know.
Oh my goodness.
So I love that I know a 2 now. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I have a helper in my life.
Yeah. I'm here for you. What do you need? That's what I do. So you are the Divisional Creative Arts Director for the Florida Division. And tell us a little bit about your ministry and how you feel God has called you to this.
Well, I was really, really blessed to grow up in the Salvation Army and have the Lord reveal himself and his plan for me through the Salvation Army. So in third grade, a girl came to me right before we got summer break, and she said, hey, do you want to go to this vacation Bible study with me? They have video games and they have all these snacks.
Nice.
I was like, cool. I went to another church with my mom, and the Salvation Army was literally like a 7-minute walk from my house. And in those days, you know, our parents picked us outside, so it was nothing. Just ride our bike or walk down there. And then I was going for at least 1.5 years just thinking it was still VBS. I had no clue that I had just become a member of this church because it was so different. I grew up going to a country church with one room and everybody's in that room and you're there until 3 o'clock every Sunday. And my mom and dad's thing was just, as long as you're going to church, we don't care that you're going to a different one as long as you're going. And at the Salvation Army, like, when it was time for quote-unquote big people church, they pulled us for junior soldiers, you know? The summer, right after Christmas, they put a horn in my hand. So I start playing baritone in fourth grade because that was the only thing they had, and my brother took the trumpet.
Yeah.
So just from that very early age, music and the arts was just a part of my faith. It was just a part of everything we did. You know, we had senior soldiers, we had band class, or we were ringing the little colored bells with the cards. And the Lord just really did a mighty work in my life. And then, you know, literally the next summer, I was at junior conservatory for 2 weeks. And then as I grew, I was at senior conservatory. So my faith and my development and maturity has always been lock and step with the arts. And I knew since I was 14 years old, I said, I want to do this with my life. I can't believe people make a living doing this. Being at camp, I had like people like Andy and Abby Miller and Dr. Sean Acapeblo and then Roberta Simmons Smith. She was a special guest. And I just had these giants in the Army who were leaders for me. And they would write musicals for us in the summer. And I just felt like, oh, this is like the thing. Like, this is a normal. I'm just going to do what they did. They went to Asbury, so I'm going to go to Asbury. Like, and I did have this little thing in my heart of, okay, because I did marching band and symphonic band and all the bands in high school. And I thought, I need to marry a trumpet player so that I can be a D&D's wife. Like, that was my goal. That was my goal in life, because I was like, then I can still play my instrument, and then I can do the things to occupy my D&D's wife, because she played her horn and piano, but then she also did all of the theater and dance stuff. And I didn't do that as much in the Army. Growing up, we did have bands, but I did that at school. So after school, I was in dance class. My mom was a teacher, and I couldn't just hang out with her in the meetings, and there's a dance studio right across from our school, so I did dance and theater and stuff outside of the Army.
Okay.
But then I thought, ooh, I can, like, marry these two if I just marry a trumpet player. Yeah. But the Lord had another plan. So I went to Asbury, and I didn't do the on-site visit or anything. I just was like, this is what I need to do. I know the plan that the Lord has put on my heart. And so I was very excited to be there. And after my first summer, I worked at a conservatory in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Holt said to me, because at that time, my division in the Carolinas was going through a transition. And so he wanted me to go to a program that was really established and somewhere different too, something different from what I knew. But when I went there, a guy named Philip Broom, who's an incredible Euphonium player, he plays his military band. Well, Philip Broom had already applied to be the brass instructor. And I was a music major with voice and euphonium, and I thought, well, I don't know who this Philip Broom is, but I'm sure I'm just as good as him. They were like, well, we already have someone doing this, but we saw on your application that you have a background in dance and theater, so will you be our creative arts person? And I thought, I don't want to do that. That's what people do who don't play a horn. I am a musician. Like, but I really, really needed a job in the summer, and I didn't want to go back home. So I took the creative arts position, and, you know, God, you know, we make plans and God laughs, right?
That's right. He orders the steps.
Exactly. I had one of the best summers of my life, and I realized I was so much better teaching theater and dance, and it kind of came natural to me. And I love all this time, I never thought to myself, oh, I'm going to be a... When I was younger, we didn't even have creative arts directors. I didn't have that. I was going to be a D&D wife or D&D. So after that summer, I thought, I should change my major. And Asbury at the time wasn't even really allowing dancing. Like, I could have studied musical theater, but not taking any dance classes. And I was like, I'm just going to have to transfer. So I transferred back home to East Carolina University, and I changed my major to theater, and I took dance, and I minored in music. And then when I transferred back home, I told you my division was going through this transition of D&Ds. Mm-hmm. And the D&Ds at the time just took Jamie and Wendy. They were like, hey, we heard that you've done creative arts for Georgia. You should do that for us. And so the whole time I was in college, they let me volunteer, like, all the rehearsals I was doing the creative arts ministries. And I was pretty much being a creative arts director all 4 years at ECU. Wow. So I did 6 years of college. So I was at Asbury for two. And then when I transferred, they were like, we love that you already have credits, but it doesn't really matter. You're going to have to do 4 years here, which was totally fine. But in that time, I mean, they just really helped me to develop as a young leader. And I just fell in love with the ministry. So literally when I graduated, the Lord made a way for that to just be my job. Like, I graduated on a Saturday and I started at DHQ full time, creative arts director, on that Monday.
Wow. What a turnaround.
I know. I didn't even have a place to live, Heather. It was crazy.
My gosh.
Lucky for me, it was right before summer, and some of the friends that I made at Asbury, they were officers in the same city as DHQ, which is Charlotte, North Carolina. So it just really, it really all worked out. That when I tell you, the Lord just ordered my steps. Mm. Even in college, when people would ask me, like, what are you going to do? And I said, oh, well, I'm going to work for the Southern Army. And my teachers were like, what? Like, we're wasting our time with you. Like, I remember senior year, I was doing an internship, and my teacher just like, if you're not going to teach in the public school education, I'm not going to sign off on this. And it was really, I felt like the enemy was coming against me because they just didn't see the vision. You know, they didn't get the plan. I was like, no, I am going to be teaching. But I always thought, like, if I'm going to be teaching, I have to talk about Christ. It's just who I am. It's in my DNA. I don't know how to do this.
How to separate those two things.
Yeah, because I told you, from third grade, the art and Christ, they are one.
Yep.
So that was a really long way for me to tell you a little about my ministry.
That's okay. And you're so driven.
Oh, yeah.
I love that about you. You are a go-getter. You set your mind to something and you accomplish it. And I've seen it. Because we've had a chance to work together at various things during our time in Florida.
Yeah, that was a really perfect situation because when I left the Carolinas, I mean, maybe you guys had a sense of this too. Like, you're so in love with where the Lord first did everything for you, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you guys were kind of this place and I was this place. And you're excited about the new place, but you still feel a little homesick. So I love that I kind of got to find a new rhythm because both of us, we're all like, we love the Lord. We love what the Lord is doing through the Army.
Yep.
This is hard, a new place, but we're going to do it together. And the Lord, you know, he really blessed us in that season.
Yeah. So you've kind of talked about, like, your quote-unquote story, but as a woman, as a working woman, what really motivates you or inspires you in your ministry?
It's funny because I said that little tidbit about, you know, thinking I need to be a DMD's wife.
Yeah.
And I laugh at that, but I just also think how misguided I was. And it wasn't so much because I didn't see women in ministry, because obviously we were sprinkled around. The Bible has so many really strong examples.
Right.
But I think I'm inspired now because I remember the mindset that I had and the Lord showing me, like, gosh, I was in the job for 6-7 years before I even got married. The Lord showing me, like, you don't need a man or you don't have to be in a servant position for me to use you. Like, I use whomever I want to use, rich, poor, black, white, woman, man. And I use them in the way I see fit. I just need your heart to be in the right place and I need you to be obedient and trust me. So now as a woman, I'm like, okay, you're going to, like you said, have to be driven. Do this. Go at pursue the Lord 100,000% because there are other young girls who might have that same mindset you have that are thinking, oh, well, I need to be this person's wife or to be alongside a man so that I can have a strong ministry. And it's like, you don't need, I mean, that is a blessing. And I want that for as many people as the Lord will have it for, but you don't need that to be a force in the kingdom.
Right.
So that kind of inspires me as a woman, just being an example to other women and just being obedient to Christ.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because the things that I have seen during the time that we were in Florida, all the young people that you worked with, all of the creative arts.
Oh, we have DCA, which is adults, and then we have Illuminate for the advanced youth, and then Innovate for the intermediate youth, and then we have Timbrel. So
that's right.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, oh my gosh, so much going on. But I saw you work with these kids, and I saw how they responded to you and how much they looked up to you. So what you were talking about just a minute ago about inspiring younger women, do you have any experiences with young women involved in your ministry that have gone on to do things that you've set them up for?
Well, gosh, I have so many. I'm trying to think of which ones to say. So I guess I'll talk about young women that I have maybe been a mentor for and the women I walk alongside. And so I'll start with a name that a lot of people probably know, which is Kellen Thornburg.
Yep.
When I was in the Carolinas, so I told you guys I was in college when I was developing that program, and then I graduated and I got to work full time to develop it. Mm-hmm. And I immediately saw a need to have a dance and theater ministry be separate so that these people who excel in these areas could really hone in on their specific gift. And I knew I couldn't do the dance part. I have a theater degree. I love dancing and all that. But the program had gotten to a level where I couldn't take some of the kids where I wanted them to go. And I prayed and I needed to meet someone who could do that. And I met Kellen through a friend. And it's so funny. The friend that we met was our percussion instructor. We're still great friends with him. He's gone in New York and he's doing his thing. But like, he was like, well, I know this girl that goes to my church. Her name is Kellen. I mean, I guess I can introduce you guys. And I was like, yes. But so through her working with us in the Carolinas and just learning about the Army, and when I tell you someone who has a heart for the Lord and is just locked in on all the right things to do incredible things in the kingdom through dance ministry. So that was a way, like, the Lord was able to bring me and Kellen together. And then as an example to other young women who want to be in this field, women, we have this interesting, and maybe men do too, that I see it a lot with the girls' relationship with our bodies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's never enough. You know, I'm to this, I'm to that, or, you know, maybe we're in a situation where we're not letting somebody else honor our body in the way that God would see fit. So it was really exciting to walk alongside somebody who's constantly reminding young women that our bodies are a temple, right?
Yes.
And if we're going to be on the stage or in these spaces where we minister with our body, like, we have to make sure, of course the enemy is going to attack that. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
We have to make sure we are so in line, and not just, you know, other people aside, just our own relationship. Are we loving our bodies and accepting ourselves, you know? Because then we get up there and we sing or we dance, and people can feel that. So I love that relationship I had with Kellen, because together we were constantly being able to show and remind people, hey, listen, like, you can do this. Going back to what I said about being obedient and accept with the Lord and loving God the way that he loves us, loving yourself the way that God loves you.
Yes.
So that was exciting. And then as a creative arts director, I mean, I think of, like, Chloe, too, was in Division of Creative Arts. And then she went on to be a creative arts director in Texas. I think of a student I had in the Carolinas named Whitney Edmonds. She went on to be accepted to ANDA, which is, like, one of the best schools for theater and dance in the country, in LA. And Ellie Henderson did too. She went on, though, to transfer to Regent University, which is a private Christian university, and they have so many professional actors who come through that program. And she has a YouTube show and a channel. And
wow.
I would say not just me, though, because, yeah, I was there in her beginnings and until she went to high school. But then all throughout college, the next creative arts director who came to the Carolinas after me, Caitlin Jackson, was able to pour into her. I think of so many students. And maybe I think of someone like a Destiny James. She grew up in the program. She's a beautiful dancer. Mm-hmm. But when she grew up, she wanted to go into a creative space. And she just open, like, her own salon.
Oh,
she does nails.
Awesome.
I don't know if you knew that about Destiny, Heather, but, like, when I tell you she does nails, she's, like, drawing little SpongeBob on people. She's incredible. And I'm thinking,
it's art.
This is a creative. Yeah, it's art.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you have someone, it's kind of like hairdressers when they have someone who's, like, with them for at least 45 minutes and you can talk to them. You're a counselor, you're a mentor, you're light in his world. There's so many little examples just of that, and just the importance of people remembering, like, even though as Christians we kind of use this language, like, okay, Christian music, Christian art, and sometimes that can put us in a box, right? Because anything that's God-honoring is Christian. You know, do you listen to Mozart, and because it doesn't say God, like, it's not?
Right.
So my other students who are now nurses or whatever else, them just understanding, like, God is in these beautiful things and the God honoring things, and you can shine in all of these situations. So,
right. I love especially what you said about like just planting the seeds that you needed at that, what that person needed in that moment for that season, and then watching them grow, going on, passing the torch to the next mentor in their lives and watching it, just watching them go. I mean, that's such a God story. That's such a beautiful example of what God has called you to do. So life doesn't come without some challenges.
Right.
What's the biggest challenge you're facing right now, and how do you cope with it?
Someone told me once, you got to stop looking to other people for validation.
Yes.
And it sounded good when they told me that in the moment, but I still that.
Isn't that right, though?
Yes. And especially, in, you know, we hear the scripture that's like, you know, all the parts of the body are important. You can't do it without the hand or the foot. But sometimes when you're in the thick of it, you just want people to be like, we need you in the body. And why do you need that? Why do I need that? But I am a person who's like that validation. And then when I feel like I don't get it, then I go to the Lord and it's woe is me. And I'm reminded from the story of Joseph. When God gave Joseph the dream and Joseph went to tell other people, they were not accepting because the dream wasn't for them.
Right.
The dream was for Joseph. And Joseph just needed to be obedient to the Lord. And he talked about somebody who went through hard times. I haven't even been in prison or like falsely accused of anything. But like, I have to go back to that sometimes and remind myself, just because you're super excited, everybody doesn't need to be super excited about this, Sabrina. Everybody doesn't need to be 100% locked in. You need to be, because the Lord told me to do it, but I still kind of get into that. When people are not as excited about me, is that's fine. They don't need to be. They're excited about what the Lord told them to be excited about.
That's right. And it looks different for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
What's something that maybe our listeners might be surprised to learn about you, or something that's misunderstood about you? You could take that either way.
Probably, I'd say a textbook introvert.
Okay.
And I think that can be misunderstood because sometimes I can appear as somebody who doesn't want to engage or who's standoffish, but it's like I literally, I get energy from being alone. So when I'm alone in the office space or wherever else, I'm in the zone, I get my best work done, whatever. And it's not that I don't love to be with people, I do, but let's say I have 25 marbles and I've had this many, every interaction takes some marbles. Mm-hmm. And by the time the day's over, I've used 24 marbles. That's one less. So I might retreat. When I retreat, it's like my marble jar gets full again, which is hard for people to understand too when you're in a performance space.
Yeah.
But that is something so different to me. It's like I'm sitting on a roll. I'm involved in the storytelling, which is so fun and it's great, but it doesn't always equate to who I am in real life. I can get up there and do a whole thing. And honestly, usually after something like that, I want to retreat because it takes a lot of my marbles to do that. So afterwards, when people want to come up and say like, oh, let's talk about this or this part of what you did or whatever, it's not that I don't want to engage. I just need time. So that's probably it.
I am the same.
Yes.
I'm like a closet introvert. I just need a minute. I just need a little time, alone time, you know, just to recharge. It is a thing.
I learned something about you, Heather, because I knew that about Tom, but I would have never guessed. I thought you were such an extrovert.
Yeah.
That is hilarious. You're great with people.
Thank you. I absolutely gain energy from being around people, but at the end of the day, man, it's a recharge.
Mm-hmm.
So what are things, you just recently got married. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So what do you love to do in your free time? How do you recharge and self-care during those moments when it's like, I need my time? How do you recharge?
I like to watch new shows and read old books. So
okay.
I'm either searching something new. Like during that pandemic, I discovered Heart of Dixie.
Yeah.
It is the cutest, most feel-good. Like there are some heavy things going on this year, and I just needed an escape. And it's just about these people in this little country Alabama town, and I'm from small town North Carolina, so I just resonated with the people and the characters, and it was really cute and fun. So I like to find fun new shows and anything about baking or cooking. And I love to read as well. And I'm kind of really fortunate because my mother-in-law loves to read too. So we'll share books on our Kindle, or she'll give me books and exchange. And
yeah.
So. Oh, I should probably mention anything outdoors too. So I will go bike riding a lot with my husband, and that's fun.
And it, what a better place to do that in than in Florida.
Yeah.
Just get out and enjoy the fresh air. And yeah. So. What would you say would be your favorite part in your ministry, in your job, in your life? Like, what's your favorite?
Okay. It's kind of two things. I love watching people learn to love themselves. And I see this happen so much in the performing arts space. When people discover, I am really good at this thing. And right alongside with that is the discipleship, because it's all one. So I love what you said about earlier, watching students grow and mature in Christ and really see, I mean, obviously our self-worth isn't in our gifts and our talents, but so many of them find that space, the beginning of their confidence through that, and watching them kind of bloom through that. Like, I think one of my favorite stories is like of a young girl. She was so shy, like would not even look up at you at the beginning of summer. And then at the end, she's talking and she's just engaging with other people, and she's looking people in the eye, and it's just like, wow, you know, it's incredible. So I like that.
Yeah. I love seeing growth in other people. That's awesome. Okay. One last thing. Oh, well, two last things, really. You're on a podcast right now that you all started. See, I said you all. I don't even listen. Okay. All right. So you're on a podcast. It's called Da Kickback. And it, let me spell that. And I love EB because he spells it out every time you're in, during your introduction. DaKickBack. Da Kickback.
Yeah.
And you tell me a little bit about what you guys talk about on your podcast.
Well, it developed from our lunchroom conversations. We all work together. And at lunch, we would just get into these incredible, I mean, we could be talking about leaves falling off a roof for an hour, or politics, or going to some deep theological. It was just great. And sometimes people would pass by, like, the library or the youth department and be like, you guys look like you have so much fun. So Teresa, 2 years ago, was like, we should just record this. We should have a podcast. And we're all like, yeah, great idea. But we never did anything. And then when we all were trapped inside during the beginnings of the pandemic, when we were trapped inside, she was like, this is the perfect time. And we're like, sure. So we just hop on Zoom and we have the lunchroom conversation. Sharika comes up with a hot topic. And if we go off track, we go off track. But we talk for about an hour and we'll invite different people who we have lunch with. But it's really been just a fun thing.
Yep.
It is funny to me that anyone listens.
Oh, yeah. It's just three friends hanging out.
Yeah, it's definitely that.
Well, we're going to wrap up here. I just want to know, what are some specific things that we can pray for you about?
It has been a challenging year in some ways because you're so used to what the Lord is doing in your life, right? You get into a rhythm, and that is so me. I'm type A. I love routine. And then sometimes when the Lord is doing something new, even though we can talk about it and we read scripture about it and say we're excited about it, sometimes it's really hard. You don't want to do something new. You want to stick to what you know. And I guess the biggest prayer request I have is, like, for me to remember, like, God is bigger than my plans. It's going to be okay if it's different.
Yeah.
And I'm laughing right now, but there have been times when I literally felt everything was crashing and burning because it was different. And it wasn't crashing and burning, Heather. It was just different.
Right.
So I guess that's my biggest prayer, that I would just trust and have faith. Like, I can't tell you how many times this past year that I just said, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief, or like my lack of faith, that you can pull through, that you can help us keep the peace. Help me make sense of this new form of ministry, that you can help me connect in ways I haven't been able to connect. I'm sure you can probably identify with a lot of that, but there it is.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Heather.
Yeah.
We should do this more often.
Right? I would love that.
Yeah.
That'd be so fun. Yep. Well, with everything going on, it's just good to be reminded that we're still on the same side.
Oh, yeah.
We're still in it together, and I appreciate your friendship and all that you've meant to my family, and the way that you spoke words of truth into my kids when they were younger, and I just really, I wanted to affirm you in that and let you know how much I appreciate you.
Appreciate you too, Heather.
Yeah. Thanks again for taking time out of your day to talk to us, and I know our listeners have been inspired by what you've had to say and challenged by your story.
You're welcome.
Thanks again, Sabrina, for taking time to talk to us today. Friends, let's continue to be better and do better for one another. I heard a quote on the radio the other day on K-Love Radio. A woman said, "If people can hate for no reason, then I can love for no reason." I mean, that's it. I'm going to make that my mantra, I think, for 2021 and beyond. Hashtag love for no reason, replacing hate with love. And I would even add a caveat to that. Love for no reason, except that Christ loved me and I want to be more like him. It's not about me. It's about what Christ has done in me, allowing me to share God's love with everyone I meet. Imagine what that would look like if we follow Christ's examples and just decided to put on love every day. People shouldn't have to earn our love. They shouldn't have to prove themselves first before we just love them. If we live in love as Jesus did, it would just be an unexpected blessing. May even start a chain reaction. We'll be giving out love like Oprah. You get some love. You get some love. You get some love. No prerequisites. No judgments. Just love. Because Jesus loves us, we can love. Let that be a challenge for you today. Hashtag love for no reason. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. I hope this podcast has been uplifting and encouraging to you. But most of all, I hope it's left you feeling prepared and equipped for tomorrow. I'll see you next time. God bless.